Dale, are you still there?
Yes.
Okay. It is 1:10 p.m. We want to roll call because we're going back into general session.
Yes, thank you. Dr. Shadlick?
Here.
Dr. Popiel?
Here.
Ms. Tibbetts? Ms. Tibbetts? Ms. Gallen?
Here.
Dr. Campbell? Dr. Campbell? Dr. Spatt?
Here.
Dr. Rubin?
Here.
Ms. Tibbetts, are you with us? So it looks like we're missing Ms. Tibbetts and Dr. Campbell.
Okay, so we have quorum. I'll go ahead and let's make a motion. I'll make a motion to include the documents that we recently received into our formal interview process and keep moving forward from that point. And I'll need a second to that motion.
Dr. Shadlick?
Aye.
Dr. Popiel?
Aye.
Ms. Tibbetts?
Aye.
Ms. Gallen?
Aye.
Dr. Campbell?
Aye.
Dr. Spatt?
Aye.
Dr. Rubin?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Kenny. If you have questions, do you mind if you can get on with me, Anthony?
Okay.
Thank you, Dr. Fernandez. Let's go ahead and move on to case number 2145, and that would be Dr. Judith Zoll. And this was we're going off the initial interview review that we asked her for additional data and information, which everyone has. And we'll go ahead and we'll move down the line this time and start with we used to start with Dr. Rubin, but we'll go up above and start with Dr. Popiel. Did you have any questions in terms of the documentation that you submitted to us?
No, I was asked to submit some new charts with special focus and attention on making sure that the charting, my general charting was improved, and I submitted them. So I'm hoping that they meet with approval and standards.
Okay.
This is Dr. Popiel. I apologize. I'm caught up now. All right, Dr. Bowser, so many things. I guess a couple of things I just think. The draft inspection and the notes obviously gets a little bit compressed sometimes. I mean, it's just really tight as far as how you do the notes. And, it is a little bit for me somewhat hard to read sometimes. In the assessment section, I find a lot of times you're missing ICD-10 code. I appreciate kind of the summary of your thought process in the chart. However, I do think some of the chart notes have ICD-10 codes, some don't. I just see some of the notes also kind of running down to five sections of the page, etc. So I just would say, to me, I think your chart notes are certainly reflecting that you do chart notes, you do have your objective section, the subjectives, and the assessment. To me, are okay. I think you could just potentially clean things up a little bit, a little more space. And
okay.
That would be my two main thought process on that.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Now, Ms. Tibbetts, do you have anything from, this is basically a review of her work.
I don't have any comments.
Ms. Gallon?
No comments.
Okay. Dr. Staff? Oh, do not have any at all. Dr. Campbell? Dr. Rubin?
This is Dr. Dan Rubin. I'm going to second what Dr. Patil said, and that there, for instance, on page 0012 in our board packet, there was a...
Is it Dr. Rubin?
That's going to take you a while.
No, that's okay. I don't
want to
interrupt you. I'm sorry.
No, good. I have to just get there. I don't know. Stretched out, and I honestly don't know. There was an ultrasound of the thyroid ordered, and on the order form, there was an ICD-10 diagnostic listed, but you didn't list it in your DX session, in your diagnosis area on the chart note.
And I believe, okay.
Yeah, and so that's sloppy. And,
okay.
Also, from a minimum competency perspective, and or somebody like a locums or somebody or a referral, somebody picks it up, they don't know the DX code, so I would have to use it, regardless of this, blah, blah, blah. Anyhow, that, Dr. Patil touched on that. But then, and it may just be that we don't have the chart note, so maybe, you know, who the patient is now, since that's the test you ordered?
No, I do not. I ordered a lot of them.
Yeah. Okay, so then,
That's an H.
So, let's see, that was ordered on a whole... Oh, I see. This is good. Yeah, okay, got it. No, I'm good. I was just going to look for your commenting on the ultrasound, but actually, we don't have that in our board package because it's too minor. So, that's my only comment, and I don't have anything from it. I mean, thank you for submitting these and being responsible about chart noting and for your patients.
Okay, thank you.
I would agree with both of you said, Dr. Rubin, Dr. Patil, what he said. We have one other issue on this case, so we'll need some board direction on it. It was in reference to the TMP with the medical cannabis. So we saw the example of the chart note. It might be a good idea to tighten the chart notes up a few days in as a CME course that you can take. The other issue that we're dealing with is the PMT with the medical cannabis. How would the board like to proceed with that? You want to roll it in to the CME, or you want to take each issue as it is?
Can you, I'm trying to find what were the specifics on number of patients certified and number of TMTs from? I forgot that, and I can't seem to find it in the notes.
Gail, I'm sorry, I jumped past the beginning. Can you give us what that was?
Yes, of course. And so between July 1st and December 31st of 2019, let's see, respondent submitted, July 1st, 2019 through December 31st, 2019. Respondent certified 28 patients for medical marijuana and queried the database only 16 times.
Do you have that all remedied now? I believe you mentioned the power after you did.
Yeah, I did talk about corrective action at our previous meeting, and then Dr. Rubin had wanted me to, that one of the additional submissions of the chart to demonstrate one that was for medical marijuana as, you know, in this way that we make it look at it. So that's the thing I've been to with them.
Okay. So,
Arizona. I haven't run a single one since then.
Okay, thank you.
I think people are just waiting until, you know, everybody can just go into the dispensary themselves.
Concern is, that would help with Anthony to drive the letter of concern.
So I believe that the issue with the chart, and I'll say, would be tightening up the subjective assessment and subjective portion of the chart notes. And then in the planning portion of the notes, to, as Dr. Rubin stated, so if someone else took over that chart, they would be able to know what the plan was with that patient.
And then my mother's family institution, yeah, as well as family to check the PMT database.
Correct.
This is Dr. Dan Rubin. Can I interrupt?
Yes, sir.
And also using ICD-10 codes when appropriate.
Okay. Good stuff. Did you have that?
I'm sorry. Dr. Rubin, if I may just repeat that. So your motion is a letter of concern, and the concerns are the chart notes, failure to check the PMP database, and the ICD-9 or the ICD-10 codes in the charting. So that's all incorporated into a letter of concern. And you're also ordering non-disciplinary CME and charting, 8 hours, is that correct?
Correct. That's what I had mentioned, and Dr. Rubin clarified some items.
Yes.
Okay. Does anyone have anything else they'd like to add to this since we're trying to draw closure to this motion? No? So then, I think Dr. Rubin, did you have a second on that, or did you just provide clarification?
I did not provide clarification. I'm sorry, this is Dr. Rubin. I did provide clarification, and I did not render a second.
Okay. So then we'll need a second on that motion, and then we'll need a roll call.
Can we have discussion on Dr. Rubin?
Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry, Dr. Rubin, Dr. Rubin wants
to. No, I'm just going to second the motion. Go ahead.
This is Dr. Rubin. I was wondering if you thought 8 hours is sufficient, too much, or if the board does, or think for the matter that 4 hours would suffice. In charting.
I'm fine either way, Dr. Rubin, with that. With 4 or 8, I know there's a course that I believe 8, but she could choose and pick as long as there was accountability that it was taken.
This is Dr. Rubin, and the only reason that I suggested is she may or may not be doing some of the certification. Her chart notes are there, they're thorough, they need some touch up. I just thought 8 hours is a lot of time. How many is sufficient? Let me put the other board members.
Concern, and then the CME instead of 8, Gail, could you put 4 hours?
Yes.
Thank you. Whenever you have a chance, if you could roll call it.
Yes. Dr. Sadlick?
Hi.
Dr. Popio?
Hi.
Ms. Chibitz?
Hi.
Ms. Gallen?
Hi.
Dr. Campbell?
Hi.
Dr. Spatt?
Hi.
Dr. Rubin?
Hi.
Motion carries.
All right, let's move on to, we're into 5C. And that was...
Okay, thanks everyone. I'm going to hang up. Thanks everyone.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay, 5G, case number 2146. And, Gail, could you give us an overview of that one? Yes. Dr. Sadlick, members of the board, at the meeting of October 8th, the board reviewed case number 2146 regarding Dr. Christian Anguiano. Because Dr. Anguiano was unable to produce any chart notes from the original case, the board requested him to provide 4 additional charts. He provided 5. I requested copies of chart notes for 4 patients, Maya's intake information, just focusing on the charting. And you've been provided with the copies of the charts that were supplied to the board.
And Dr. Anguiano, are you there? Dr. Anguiano, are you on the line? I guess he's not. Has everyone had a chance to review his notes?
Yeah.
So let's go ahead and start with, how about you, Dr. Campbell? Can we start with you? This is the 10 round.
Understanding of what's going on for the patient. Again, completely lacking ICD-10 codes for most patients. The plan is somewhat clear. Looks like this is a clinic that runs a lot of prescription meds and kind of not cookie cutter, but somewhat cookie cutter protocols for treatment plans, STDs, etc. So I feel like this objective is extremely lacking for pretty much every chart note that I saw. Definitely lacking in ICD-10 codes and as the main concern. So definitely not concerned over the chart notes, and certainly glad we got these because it does nothing to reduce my concerns over comprehensive chart note capacity.
And I concur with you. I was able to discern his logic, some of where he was going. But I have to spend some time to go back into the subjective to pull up where his plan was. A motion might be for him to do some additional TME in reference to charting. And the question is how everyone might phrase that motion. But let me get Dr. Rubin to kick in his thoughts also.
this is Dr. Rubin. I'm all over with you guys. I think the care generally seems to be good. I'm trying to imagine what a day looks like. You know, I was just had the doctor on the phone today. I would have asked him to kind of take us through a day and probably had the same questions that Dr. Cofield had. Just looking for follow-ups or certain exams, given the nature of the type of practice that this seems like. And I don't have challenges with the care. I just do have challenges with lacking ICD-10s, those types of things. And so, in terms of emotion, I do think that it would be very reasonable. I move, I'm not going to make a motion yet, but I would be in favor of non-disciplinary action for CME to include 4 hours of chart noting or charting. And that's that. I don't think we need to see a resubmission at this time.
Do you want, Dr. Rubin, would you feel more comfortable? I mean, you were able to probably pull out a subjective when you read it, a lot of STD, BPH, et cetera. You were probably able to figure out his plan, but you had to put a little thought into it. Do you feel that 8 hours, an 8-hour course, or partial 4 hours, what's your thought process on it?
I think 4 hours, and here's why. I think Dr. Anguiano is in a niche. I don't think he doesn't seem like he's going anywhere soon. This is my opinion. I think that that clinic does what it does, probably does it very well. He has 3 other colleagues there that he can interface with, or who knows the system or that system. And that's why I think 4 hours as a reminder, and I think it would be good for him.
Okay. We can agree with you. Dr. Spann, what's your viewpoint on it from a medical point of view, looking at the subjective and then dropping down to the plan where he came up with his medications, ciprofloxacin and some of the others?
Yeah, you know, I agree with Dr. Rubin and also Dr. Puffy was saying, I think because the clinic itself, apparently he's not the doctor is not here for us to ask, but I think this is the form that they use at that clinic, so there's no way that they have my doubt that they're going to change the format. I agree with the CMB so that he can be aware of what's going on as well, because I think this clinic, I'm sure they do pretty well, but I think he's working through it, so this is the form that they use. I used to work in clinic, same work, something like this, and so I consider with what Dr. Rubin's saying as well, that, you know, so far, how the CME is, I think, is appropriate for me on it.
Okay. All right. If we don't have him on the phone, it appears to be a pretty targeted type of clinic that deals mostly with primarily like STD. So the therapeutics are obviously on target. It's the notes, perhaps a little bit of touch up would be helpful. So then, if anyone wants to, we can make a non-disciplinary. Or we can make an actual letter of concern for non-disciplinary and then CME. Looks like everyone's gearing towards 4 hours.
This is Sarah. I just want to clarify, would that be a letter of concern with a non-disciplinary order for the CME?
Yes, please.
Okay.
This is our congressman. So moved.
So if I may clarify, please. You just are issuing an order for non-disciplinary CME 4 hours in record keeping. Is that correct?
I believe Dr. Rubin and Dr. Peel was for charting.
Charity, correct.
Yes.
And no letter of concern.
Okay.
I thought.
This is Dr. Ashton.
Go ahead, Dr. Phil.
I mean this go.
Go ahead, Dr. Phil. Go ahead.
Oh, this is Dr. Dan Rubin. I do not feel that there's a letter of concern needed.
Well, I was going to say, I think we're also dealing with the failure to check the PMP on, 16 out of 36 patients or something like that. So, in my thought, would be a lot of concern for failure to check the PMP database as well as improving charge up. And not disciplinary
training.
Okay. Yeah, I would concur with that.
I'm up for a discussion.
Does anyone have any additions, deletions that they want to make to the motion? So I'm going to have Henry, if you don't mind, can you read what the motion is and make a formal vote?
Yes, so I have a motion from the board that issuance of a letter of concern for failure to check the PMP when issuing medical marijuana certifications and charting issues, and then the board is ordering 4 hours of non-disciplinary CME in charting.
Correct. So since I somewhat drafted it and then everyone kind of chimed in, I'll make a motion, and then we'll need a second, and we'll need a roll call.
Correct. Okay, I'll second that motion.
Do you like me to do roll call, Dr. Sablik?
Yes, please.
Dr. Sablik?
Aye.
Dr. Popio?
Aye.
Ms. Chibitz?
Aye.
Ms. Gowan?
Aye.
Dr. Campbell?
Aye.
Dr. Spatt?
Aye.
Dr. Rubin?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Okay, let's move on to 5E. And this will be case number 20-166. This is Dr. Greg Jones, and Dr. Jones has his attorney, Ms. Murray, is with him.
It is Ms. Murray. Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome. And y'all, can you give us an overview of this?
I'm sorry, Dr. Sablik, you wanted me to summarize?
Just a summarization.
Okay. Dr. Sablik, members of the board, this is case 20-166. On September 24th, 2020, the State of Arizona Naturopathic Physicians Medical Board received a complaint from J.R. alleging respondent threw her down and put his hands on her neck during an argument. At the time of the alleged attack, respondent and JR were in a romantic relationship. JR alleges an argument occurred on September 20th, 2020 between herself and respondent. According to the response, on September 20th, 2020, JR was present at respondent's residence. Both had consumed alcohol. After requesting JR to leave his residence, an argument broke out, and at that point, respondent left his residence. Attorney Maury states in her response, quote, Dr. Jones did not in any way assault JR as described in her complaint or otherwise, end quote. This is not a patient complaint. There is no evidence to support the allegations made by the complainant in this case. Board staff recommends dismissal.
Okay. Dr. Jones or Ms. Moore, do you have anything to add before we make a motion?
Thank you to the members of the board. No, we do not. We stand by our denials of any wrongdoing, and we certainly support the board staff recommendation of dismissal.
Okay. board members, do we need more information? Are you okay with a dismissal on 20-136?
Excuse me, I am the victim in this case.
We can allow you about 3 minutes to go ahead and give us your conversation.
Well, first and foremost, I'd like to appreciate you guys taking the time to hear me out today. My attorney, James Slade, is not present today. There is a current case. There is a police report and photos, also a physical examination at the county hospital where I was taken by the police department because of the injury that I came. At this time, those faculty department, those photos, all that evidence has not been reviewed because the prosecutor has that case and they are reviewing it.
Okay.
Do I want to get into the details at this moment without having the government attorney or the board have those documents? But
no, I think what you could do is if you would like, we can we'll work with this case we have, and then if you need to, you could go ahead and file for a new case. But I have to work with the data I have currently in front of me. And I don't have your data in front of me.
I did make a full report in the mail, getting all the details in the matter.
Is there a police report that you gave her?
Yes, not a police report, but a police report number.
Okay. I don't believe
so. I think that the examination, the examination report from the medical center at the department hospital.
Okay. So, board members, let me take it back to you and see where we're coming from. And then go ahead, Ms. Lauren, you can go ahead first.
Thank you. I appreciate it. To members of the board, the complainant in the JR in this matter has had every opportunity to provide any kind of alleged evidence, which she has failed to do so. Her order of protection was actually dismissed because there was no evidence to support her claim. The parties did
demand that is not correct.
Wait, please, I did not interrupt you. Please. The documents provided to the board did include how the order of protection was dismissed and how the, and actually from the court itself, where the order of protection was denied because, that it was, she failed to demonstrate reasonable cause to believe that the defendant, in this case Dr. Jones, had committed any kind of domestic violence and that type of thing. So just based on the information that we do have, and these are court issues, so whether, if I'm not mistaken, that police report was even filed before the stipulation to not contact each other, for each one of them to go their own way, and these orders of protection were dismissed and the case was dismissed, I don't see how now JR can now try to come forward and say, well, wait a minute, there is evidence I just haven't provided this one.
Okay, thank you. So let me go ahead and let me move through the board members and see if they have anything else they'd like to add or whether we can come to closure and possibly reopen another case if needed. Let me start with you, Dr. Campbell.
The board could just scare me out this common time.
Hold on. I need to go through with my board members, and then they'll discern where we need to go from here. So let me start with you, Dr. Campbell, and let's go through the board members.
Thank you. This is Dr. Campbell. Going off of the information that we have before us, the documentation that is before us now, at this time, I don't see how we can vary from the path that we were on, which is following the recommendations of board staff, because there's no other evidence that allows us to move forward. Some credible evidence allows us to move forward in a different direction. And I'd be interested to hear what everyone else his opinions are with that.
Dr. Rubin?
This is me. This is Dr. Rubin. Yeah, I agree with Dr. Campbell. Dr. Campbell is excellent at thinking these types of matters. I don't know what the board would be looking at here. It's not a patient complaint. There's no reason to think that a patient would be in the future. Well, I don't have a reason to suggest that a patient could be injured or damaged in the future based on what I have in front of me.
Yeah, I agree with what Ben said. I'm not quite necessarily thinking there's any sort of concern for patient populations, et cetera. I think that this is more of a personal matter than necessarily something that we need to be involved with the board.
Okay.
Dr. Kraft.
I don't have any comment.
Let me ask.
I agree with what has been said. With what is before us, I don't believe that there's anything to act upon, and I think that we need to go with board staff recommendation.
And Ms. Gallen?
Yeah, I agree too. I think I'm going to have been said in that.
So, JR, what you can do is if you have additional concerns, you have to send your data into the board again with what your concerns are and any additional information slash reports. And we can go from that point. But with the data we have here, it sounds like the board has drawn closure to this particular case, which is case number 20-166. So let me go ahead and Gail, go ahead and do a roll call.
Was there a motion to dismiss in a second?
I think there was a motion to dismiss. Did anyone recall who made that motion?
Dr. Campbell.
You did? Okay. So Dr. Campbell made the motion to dismiss, and then we'll need a second, and then we'll need roll call.
Dr. Campbell, you all have seconded the motion.
And Gail, could you roll call us?
Yes. Dr. Sadlick?
Aye.
Dr. Popio?
Aye.
Ms. Tibbetts?
Aye.
Ms. Gallen?
Aye.
Dr. Campbell?
Aye.
Dr. Spatt?
Aye.
Dr. Rubin?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Okay.
Excuse me, if I could just say one more thing. This is Ms. Murray again. Thank you very much, members of the board, for your time. I don't know if this is appropriate, so may I request that if JR does decide to try to, or does try to file a separate complaint against Dr. Jones, that she would have to at least be able to have some kind of evidence to show that this was somehow put patients in some kind of danger or peril that would actually affect Dr. Jones' patient care.
Yeah, that's normally the way we would be looking at it. If he's unstable, et cetera, that would be harm to the public, and that's pretty much what the board is about. So hopefully that doesn't come to fruition again.
Right. Okay. Well, thank you. I just wanted to make sure that it was clear that there was no patient involved and there was no harm to the patient or even potential. So, thank you.
Okay.
All right.
I just
wanted to say something right before you guys move on.
We already got about 20 seconds. Go ahead.
In fact, I was a patient of Dr. Jones, and he got me out as a patient prior to the relationship beginning. And since then, I've had to find another doctor to carry on my case. So, yes, he is a threat to patients because of his actions, especially in this case. Now, I will be following up with this once I have a police report and the prosecution begins. So, I have every intention of following this through. Now, whoever wants disciplinary action in the form of him revoking his license or anything like that. No. All I want is for him to get the help that he needs to move forward and be a better doctor.
Okay. Thank you,
JR. Thank you. I appreciate
your
And of course, being the attorney that I am, I do object to those statements, but that's just me being the attorney, so thank you. This is a record. Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, let's go ahead and we can almost wrap through five because we're going to move on to case number 20.
Sorry, this is Dr. Krishna again. My kid had jumped in right before 166, and I believe mine had just been discussed. I apologize, I'm in California on the car. I thought I was at behind down the head. I thought I was at ahead of the line. Anyway, I can get at least information about what was discussed or what was decided.
You can go ahead and contact Ms. Anthony tomorrow if she's in the office. Because we've already moved past her date.
Okay.
Okay, let's move on to 5E, case number 20-160, and that would be Dr. Huber. Dr. Huber, are you still on the line? Dr. Huber, still there? Okay.
Yes, sorry, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay.
So hang
I'm sorry about my attorney's good on this.
Okay, so hang tight, Ms. Anderson, give us a quick overview, and
yeah.
Then we'll get your case finished.
And Dr. Shadid, members of the board, I did receive notice from Dr. Rubin that he has a conflict with the case, and he is recusing. Dr. Rubin, did you want to say what your conflict is on the record, please?
My conflict is that I may have an issue being truly objective on the case and wanted this to be a fair interview or whatever it is.
Thank you, Dr. Rubin.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Dr. Rubin. Okay,
Dr. Salek, members of the board, this is case number 20-160. On September 8th, 2020, the State of Arizona Naturopathic Physicians Medical Board received a complaint from patient A.M., alleging respondent refused to supply her with the ingredients that she had put in her IVs. According to A.M., the first request was verbal, telling respondent she wanted to know what was in her IVs, but never got an answer. The second request was in the form of a records request from another physician, but the records received did not contain IV ingredients and quantities. According to AM, she called respondent's office and spoke with the office manager, who informed her the doctors at the clinic considered the ingredients proprietary and never divulged them to the so that patients cannot take the protocol and go to another doctor. AM wrote a letter to respondent dated August 29th, 2020, outlining her request for information. In her response to AM, respondent stated in part, quote, that information is and has always been proprietary, end quote, we do not give recipes to other doctors, end quote.
So, Dr. Huber, why don't you go first, and then we'll turn it over to the board members.
The patient was going to be the patient in our clinic. There are three aliases. We were told by the patient that none of those are her real name. So that is why in our response we referred to her as A.M. because she was consistent in those initials. On the first day, we did provide a list of IAB ingredients, and we provide that in writing that was given to the patient in front of others. But the patient said that she, she said she required specific amounts of specific components of her IV, and we let her know that will change day to day depending on her needs. As her needs change over time, we meet with the patient briefly every time she comes in. Each of those encounters, subsequent encounters, was 15 minutes.
But she has demanded assuming the full time a specific amount of ingredients in the IV. And one of the other doctors was whom she met with. And that doctor wrote out a handwritten list for her study, besides the type list that I gave her on the first day. So the only thing that we did not provide was a specific amount. And we didn't feel that that was appropriate because that has long been considered part of the proprietary information protected by Arizona Revised Statute 44-401. And so my attorney has gone into more detail about that in our response.
And so let me ask probably a somewhat obvious question. If that will use the initial AM, if AM had gone, say, something that transpired with AM, could then apologetic, could then have black reaction, you go to ED, emergency department, and they ask what was infused in you, and she said, I don't know if it was a proprietary type substance. How would you intervene in that?
I would have shared with the emergency department the same paper that we provided to AM at her first visit, which was about paragraphs describing the IV nutrients. And I can describe them to you if you like. These are the B vitamins, vitamin C, minerals, amino acids. And that was what was in the IV.
This problem I'm having is I understand that you're probably not going to put that on Facebook or put that on the web, and that's fine. But if you infuse or inject something into somebody, then they do have the right to know what you infused or injected into them. So can you help me?
Yes, you mean that more specific detail is required other than the list that I just gave. And the fact that from Arizona Revised Statute 44-401.
And now just basically take it back to the board members too, but it still goes back to if you infuse 10 cc's of vitamin C and 0.25 cc's of B-complex, whatever it was, that would have to be in that patient's chart that was part of their intravenous formula. It wouldn't be proprietary.
My attorney looked into Arizona law and could not find what you just asserted. Do you have a reference for that in the session?
Well, let me ask our attorney general and legal counsel in the house what has popped up on that. As far as I know and as far as I'm concerned, she can help us with it and the board members have. Is you have to let somebody know what you injected or infused into them. But we'll start with this, Ms. Austin, and then see what she says.
So did you ask me what Arizona law says with regard to the ability to know what's been injected in your body, or are you looking for a specific statute under that?
I'm just looking for the Arizona law. It might be probably under a statute of if I inject something into a patient and it's proprietary, does that mean that I won't have to tell the patient what I injected into them?
I apologize, but I have to research that issue. I don't have that answer on the top of my head.
Okay.
If I may clarify, the patient alleged no harm to herself. I mean, a hypothetical would be an interesting question to resolve. However, this patient alleged no harm anywhere in her complaint.
And again, I think there are absent members of the board, Dr. Cavalli, it's a hindsight requirement for your review as an undertaker.
So let me kind of triage it to some other board members, and let me get his viewpoint, and then we'll roll from there with the doctor members.
I appreciate that, you know, you spent time and effort to hone your craft and hone what you're doing for your IV protocol. However, my thought is that doesn't absolve you from actually having to chart out what you're infusing in the patient. So this patient with the whole two names, the aliases, I have problems with the patient. Let me start with that too. The patient assuming different names or whatever is a concern. The patient's saying she needs to know what's in her IV so she can properly dose oral ingredients is ridiculous. So I have a problem with patient number one and things that she said, but however, regardless of that, your chart note should document what's in your IV, proprietary or not. And whenever that time comes, if somebody was to ask for a reference to me, that would be a conversation to have with that practitioner. And I appreciate you don't want to give out your IV protocol. However, I don't believe that absolves you in any way from actually having to make a chart note documenting what is in the IV. That's number one. Number two, the chart notes you did provide are extremely concerning as far as a complete lack of comprehensive nature as far as what you're actually documenting for this patient. This patient has thyroid cancer, yes, we diagnosed them with a C34, which is neoplasm of the bronchus or lung. The chart notes that we see from you and I think Dr. Norden essentially need no requirements that I can see for an adequate chart note for the patient. So I think we have two issues here, which is, is this information proprietary? Number one, fine. However, does it absolve you from actually having to do a legitimate chart note that documents what is in the IV? And number two, do we know how to do adequate chart notes that actually could be classified as a legitimate chart note? I think those are my main concerns here. I see chart notes that look like they're on a spiral notebook. I don't even know what to say about that. That's not a chart note. So those are my main concerns at this point. I mean, certainly we can circle back, but those are my main concerns before we can pass it on to other board members.
Thank you, Dr. Papil. Dr. Stack?
Yeah, I can tell with Dr. Papil or Fuzzy Fang. Also, whenever I get any IVA solution, I always put down exactly the amount and the dosage as well. So I try to listen. I can't see any of it. So let's say it's like, let's say you put down the information about this particular patient, and I wouldn't know where to go, what to do next on it as well.
Okay, let me get Ms. Tibbetts.
I don't have any questions.
Okay. Ms. Gallen?
I don't have any either.
And Dr. Campbell?
My concerns are actually being addressed right now, and I'm going to rely on the expert opinion of our medical doctor board members. Thank you.
Thank you. And Dr. Rubin, you're recused. Do you see the concerns we have, Dr. Huber?
If there was an wrong ICD-10 code, then that was the type of that should have not happened. So I don't know if it was the other doctor whose chart notes were provided or mine, but I'll definitely look into it to see why somebody wrote C34. As far as the intellectual property, I'm not hearing much appreciation from the board regarding the protection of proprietary knowledge from a by a doctor. So that's by doctor processes that were developed over the last 14 years. And when somebody says that Well, it's necessary for the formula to be passed on to the other doctors, so the next doctor knows what to do. That is very concerning to me, because the next doctor should be so well-versed in the use of IV nutrients that that doctor will decide this particular formula that I am going to put together today is in the best interest of my patient, not trying to copy some previous work that may no longer be applicable to the patient. So that's why I do think it's important that doctors not just rely on some kind of recipe or formula that was inherited, but rather that they reason what the patient requires and then apply their knowledge and that nutrients that they're working with to that patient. So I don't know. Unfortunately, my employee is there. Yeah, go ahead.
So what happened is that whenever we see a new patient, regardless if they were referred by someone else or new patients that are walking, after treatment coming in and treatment, but when I give any treatment, I have to, supplement exactly what I give. And so let's say the patient is being referred to me, I definitely want to know what treatment they have given, they have taken before, so that I know what, what's not working, what worked for them, so that I can give a different treatment to that particular patient. So it's regardless to, proprietary or not, but you still need to obtain your documentation, what exactly it is, so that we get an idea of what the patient is having.
Can you ask a clarifying question? If I may, I'd like to ask, there are a number of naturopathic physicians that, who have developed oral use proprietary formulations. That is, collections of supplements that they have used the branding with. And when you look at the ingredient list, some of the ingredients are given and others say proprietary formulation of. So my question is, let's say, so you do the hypothetical example, that's just how I could see, the patient then goes to the emergency room and they need to know what was ingested. Will that proprietary formulation then need to be divulged in full detail? And so, does the naturopathic physician who prepares the oral formula have any right to call it proprietary in the first place? A further question along the same line. Let's say a person drinks Coca-Cola and goes to the emergency room. Does the emergency room require of the Coca-Cola company, what is your formula? Because that was asked in the person invested prior to the emergency room. These are my questions.
Yes, regarding to the
logistics
of the regarding to the IV, regarding to vitamin C, vitamin B3, G6, B12, you would not know what those are here. So primarily or not, it's changing depending on the patient status. So you still need to supplement what, what exactly is in the formula itself. So that's just my point on it.
I hear what you're saying, but I think we're not really comparing apples to apples necessarily because, whatever treatment you provide as a physician, you're documenting a legal note that is the way that medicine works. And you being medically brushed forward with naturopathic medicine means that whatever your opinion of it, you're still going to need to play by the rules of what documents a legal chart note and what documents an appropriate chart note if you're going to be treating patients. In my opinion, particularly if you're treating cancer patients, your chart note's got to be really good, really clear, and really comprehensive. And I think, your assumption of, I don't want my information out there, I hear you, but I also, it seems like it's a little bit, self-important, and I know that sounds a little rushed, but it does sound a little self-important in my opinion that whoever gets your note is going to be like, oh, that's totally what I'm going to do for my IV. Yes, they need to have their own training, yes, they need to have their own competency, but I think that, in your opinion, that if somebody gets your note, that's exactly what they're going to do, I don't think that's necessarily going to happen either. So I don't think your argument is necessarily valid because of the rules you have to play by being a licensed member of the Metropolitan Community.
I concur with what Dr. Field said. If your main thing is, and you did ask the question, if that person did wind up, hopefully it never happened, in the emergency room department, they'll probably track you down, and they won't really care what your proprietary formula is. Let's say the patient goes in anaphylaxis. They're going to want to know exactly what you put in her so that they would be able to discern any type of secondary therapeutic. My thought process is, and I understand you don't want everyone to get a hold of that particular formula, simply put it in the chart, and this way you're protected if something does transpire. He did mention, Dr. Field did mention in reference to your charting, if you're going to do oncology patients, I would definitely tighten up the chart so that if it does go to an oncologist, a regular board certified oncologist, that they would at least be able to follow what your plan is. They may not agree with your plan, but they'd at least be able to see what your logic and planning are for that patient. And those are my thoughts. Any other board members have thoughts or suggestions? Pat, you were making a couple of suggestions and comments.
I don't have any comments.
Okay. Campbell, do you have any thing?
Although I have no
comments. Okay. Go ahead.
I'm going to some political kind of threats for proprietary issues related to medical documentation. I know of other situations in which you required his and so he would list everything that you provided to the patient. However, when it was being released in a non-emergent way to redact that information. So for the purpose of it's going upon the legal experts looking into it, they determine that yes, you need to be documenting the exact amounts. Yes, you do document the exact amount, and for the purposes of an emergency exigent circumstances, that information is there to be released to the board or to be released to other emergency personnel. But for all other reasons, when it's being released to a patient, being released to another doctor, the specific doses are redacted. And so that's really the only thing that I can add at this point. And Dr. Cofield, did you say you had something?
No, that covers. I'll come back to it. I have no questions for this moment.
Okay. That was it for me, Dr. Chadwick.
Okay. Thank you, Dr. Campbell. Other board members, do you have any suggestions or comments? And then, Dr. Appeal, any other suggestions?
Yeah, I guess I was going to say, given that the attorney has commented on, the legal statute as proprietary information, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, exactly what Dr. Campbell said is appropriate, that the information needs to be in a chart now, period, and then it can be redacted and sent to another naturopathic doctor, etc. But I don't know if we need to clarify exactly. I don't know if we need to postpone resolving this case for a month until we clarify exactly how that would work with proprietary info. Or can we just decide what we can also just decide what we think about it. Just given that that other attorney was commenting on, a particular case, that it's not really to
get more information on that and hold on and maybe address this on how we need to proceed.
Okay.
But certainly, for me, the biggest determinants are absolutely inadequate and that needs to be resolved. I just think we need to resolve the whole situation all at once. And I don't know if we have all the info necessarily with regards on the legal side. Then you would provide your info.
Okay. Let me ask you, Ms. Asa, with the statute that was stated, if we took this up at the next board meeting, would you be able to give us some legal direction on that?
That is that one thing that we're going to go on. We're really going to be writing a session, so I can give you the
sure. Yeah, let's do it. It's 2:21. We'll move into executive session and for legal advice, and I'll need a second.
Okay.
And Ms. Anthony, roll call.
Dr. Shadwick.
Hi.
Dr. Popio?
Hi.
Ms. Tibbetts?
Hi.
Ms. Gallen? Ms. Gallen?
Hi.
Dr. Campbell?
Hi.
Dr. Spatt?
Hi.
Dr. Rubin is recused. Motion carries.
Session and 2:22. We'll see you then on the other line.